Hi, and welcome to the Breakthrough Emotional Eating Podcast. My name is Kristen Jones, and thank you so much for joining me this week. So for many people, and people in my group, members in my group, and just, you know, the people roaming the earth at large, most of us are in some degree of a relationship, whether it is a romantic relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's familial relationships. And relationships can be amazing. They can bring so much to your life. But let's be honest, y'all, relationships can really be a pain sometimes, and they can be challenging. Challenging is like an understatement, very mild challenge. And so what we're going to talk about today with our very, very special guest is how to navigate and navigating relationships, not only within a partnership, but also within any type of relationship, and your issues with emotional eating, your issues with food, your desire to want to lose weight, and how relationships can oftentimes be a source of an obstacle. It can be an obstacle. It can be something that can really hold you back. And one of the things that we want to talk about is why and where that is our energy directed in the right place when it comes to looking at our relationships? Because wouldn't it be really nice if we all just went into like confines where we didn't have to talk to people and we just went ahead and like lost weight. We were like, you know, I'm going to go on a diet and I'm not going to talk to anybody. And, you know, and I'm going to come out, you know, 2 months, 3 months later and just be skinny and everything's going to be great. And that's not how life works. It just isn't, it is not. And I think that's the biggest challenge when it comes to losing weight is it's not in a vacuum. It is in real life, and real life happens. And as was demonstrated last week on the podcast, talking to Holly last week, life and death happens, and you have to be able to navigate that, and you have to be able to deal with your emotions. And that can be a real challenge. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, and how that connects with emotional eating, how it relates to emotional eating, and how it, how you want to actually go about, you know, examining that and then taking steps forward to put yourself in the best possible position to be successful. So with that said, Sheila Morgan, welcome to the podcast. You have been on before. Y'all, we were looking it up. Sheila was on episode number nine. We are at episode 84 right now. Actually, we are episode 85 right now. And that's super exciting. So Sheila, would you introduce yourself and remind everybody who you are, where you are, how we met, all the things, and what have you been doing since you were on the podcast? Oh, so long ago. I know, so many years ago.
First of all, I'm honored and thrilled to be here. I absolutely adore you. And we always have so much fun. Thank you. Yes. And so, yeah, where to begin? So yeah, we met in certification and we became buds, and we love chatting and hanging out and doing all things coachy and promoting each other and promoting our businesses and helping people to the best of our abilities. And when I was on the podcast before, I had my Facebook group called the People Pleasers Revolution, and I was focused on helping people pleasers. And what I've discovered is that there's some people pleaser in all of us. And so I have narrowed my niche down to specifically working with people who are in their second, maybe even third, fourth marriage and are seeing the same patterns. They're seeing the same struggles. They're seeing the problems that they had before, and they're thinking, oh no, what's going on? What's happening? Like, am I destined to be alone? Am I never going to figure this out? Is my picker broken? I hear that one all the time. My picker's broken. If I could just find the right person. And I got to tell you, you know, the right person doesn't exist. It's up to us to work with what we get, basically. Right. Like, yeah, you want to find someone that aligns well with you, but they're still going to be a human being and there's still going to be stuff. So we're going to talk about the stuff.
Right? Exactly. And word on the street is that you have a podcast yourself. We're going to talk about that a little bit more at the end, but would you share with the audience what you are creating right now? Cause I'm super excited about it.
Yeah. So at the end of 21 and into 22, I challenged myself to do 100 one-on-one conversations. And it was an amazing opportunity to hear with what people are struggling with and what's going on with them. And what I found was that finding yourself not being able to overcome things that seem to have become a pattern, mm-hmm. and having issues there. And I thought, man, we can work with this. We can work with these difficult emotions. We can help people get through that. And I really wanted to put more of a message out there. So I created the Relationship Reboot podcast, and that launched this week. The very first episode launched on May 11th, actually, Wednesday. And I'm just going to do my best to get an episode out every week, mm-hmm. And keep that going. So it's about relationships, and I'm just going to have special things in there for people who are in their second or third marriage, because there's things, you know, stepkids and dealing with the ex-partner and things like that, that add to the dynamics, that make it specific to that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's gonna be stuff applicable to all relationships. And my philosophy is that your relationship with yourself is the foundation of all your other relationships. Mm-hmm. So you got to be working here first. You got to mm-hmm. be, you know, the call is coming from inside the house. You got to deal with that first before <Exactly. laughs> you deal with what's going on outside. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. And that's really one of the things that it really ties into what we're talking about today is, you know, we're talking about relationships, partners, you know, friends, you know, family members who seem to be trying to sabotage you. And the reality is it always comes back to you. It always comes mm-hmm. back to you. They're on the outside, and it's always going to be an inside job. It's always going to be the call coming from inside the house. So it's always, mm-hmm. it's always you and looking at that. So, tell us a little bit about when it comes to, and you can use yourself as an example as well, but what, when it comes to the interpersonal relationships and having those relationships and emotional eating, where does the disconnect happen in the sense of the anger that people feel towards these people outside of them that they see as their saboteurs, mm-hmm. where does that come from? And then why is that misdirected? Where does it need to be? Where do things need to be shifted?
I love it. So you teach that your thoughts create your feelings, mm-hmm. and your feelings create your actions, right? So if we are thinking they're sabotaging me, they don't want me to lose weight, or they're making this hard on me, what kind of emotion you think that's going to bring up? Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. That's going to trigger our anger, our frustration. So the very first thing I'd say is, what are you thinking about that other person? Mm-hmm. You know, like if we break it down into fact and story, the fact is, like, let's say my husband, he brings home chocolate cake, and that's the fact. And the story is, I could make up, oh, he forgot. He doesn't care. He's just doing his own thing. He's just wants me to, he likes me fat, you know, whatever mm-hmm. thoughts, you know, mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever thought that one, but, but whatever thought, like, he's sabotaging me, he's making this harder. Here's a thought that I've had about him is we had an agreement. He's breaking our agreement. And that's a big one, thinking that the other person, like, how many times have you made an agreement and a commitment to yourself that you broke? Right. So, but yet we put it on the other person, our partner, that they make an agreement with us. Now they can never break it. Mm-hmm. And if they do, we're so mad at them. Right.
And it feels like they've betrayed us, really.
They've betrayed us. Yeah, that's a betrayal. Good word. Mm-hmm. I feel betrayed. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that betrayal comes because there was trust. Mm-hmm. And trust is an emotion as well. It's like a more of a cognitive thing. Like, you decide to trust somebody, but it's putting some responsibility on somebody else. And even though our partner brings that home, we don't have to eat it. We don't have to eat it. We are breaking our own agreement with ourselves by eating it. Mm-hmm. So then that's two people we're going to blame and point fingers at and be mad at. So right. Yeah. And one of the things that I've learned recently is that there's nothing wrong with being angry. there's nothing wrong with being upset with either ourselves or our partner. You know, if you have an agreement and it's broken, it's okay to be upset with that. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem comes when we think we shouldn't be angry, or we think we shouldn't be upset, and then we try to avoid feeling it. And anytime you try to avoid feeling an emotion, what happens? You numb it, you buffer, you go eat, drink, whatever you do to avoid feeling it. So I think the key for me has been letting myself be angry. It doesn't mean I go and rant and scream and throw things, but it means like, oh, I'm angry. Oh, I'm so mad. I'm so mad at myself. I'm so mad at him for bringing that home. And then noticing that you're having that emotion, realizing it's happening, not making it wrong. And it's amazing how quickly it'll pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like just feeling it and letting yourself get through it. And then it's like, okay, why am I angry? Finding the story, finding what it is that you're thinking about them that's bringing that up. Mm-hmm. And then deciding, is that a story that works for me? Do I want to keep that?
Right. Right. Exactly. What, you mentioned something that kind of, that made me realize that when that whole thing of like somebody bringing something home to you and the feeling of that anger, we were talking about how most of the time a person's feeling of giving in, or they cave into whatever it is by, you know, like giving into eating whatever it is, like say it's a chocolate cake or it's pizza, or they bring home, you know, McDonald's or whatever it is, and you decide and you give in. We had talked about what that oftentimes it's the fear of how do I say no and sit with the person being upset with me. So mm-hmm. what would you say to those people who are like, well, yeah, but he's going to get mad at me. He's going to be upset with me. And so then the rest of the night's going to be ruined because I didn't give in to having the pizza, or I didn't show, or the ultimate, you don't appreciate. This is one time I bring you something. You complain about me not bringing you something all the time. And I bring you pizza and now you're not going to eat it. And then the guilt piles on. So how do people, what advice would you give to people about like, what do they have to do for them? What thought process do they have to have for themselves? Because when you're mired in this guilt and these bad feelings, like how do you navigate through that?
Yeah. So the first thing that I would do is get real honest with myself. And when they bring this thing home, how am I reacting out loud to it? Mm-hmm. Am I USOB, you brought food home? Or am I, thank you for thinking of me. Mm-hmm. You know, is that person upset with you because you didn't eat the thing they brought home? Or are they upset with you because you reacted to them in a way that wasn't appreciative mm-hmm. of what they did? Because put yourself in their place. Why did they bring that home to you? Right. Do you think they brought it home because they want to mess up your diet? No, they brought it home because they thought maybe you're hungry. Maybe you had a long day. Maybe you needed some McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, because in the past they've seen you eat when you're upset and they think that comforts you. Mm-hmm. They may not understand what you're doing or what you're trying to accomplish because mm-hmm. they have a whole different perspective. You know, when I met my husband, he provided wine, raspberries, chocolate, and candlelight. And so that has been like, and I was so, oh, that's amazing. I was just so appreciative of it. So now if he brings that home, it doesn't mean I'm required to still partake of it. Mm-hmm. It just means I'm still appreciative and I can make a request that he not bring home this particular chocolate or mm-hmm. the wine, or, you know, bring me a bunch of raspberries and, you know, something like that instead. The thing is that when you make a request, you put your needs out there for them to know about it and to understand. And when you sit down and talk about it, doing it in the moment you can be emotional in that moment and be upset, and it's not a great time to do it. Mm-hmm. But when you tell them the why, the reason that you're doing this, and then understand that they are human beings with agency mm-hmm. and they can say yes, they can say no, they can negotiate. He could still bring home wine and say, well, but it's not your favorite. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something else. Mm-hmm. So they may not fulfill all of your needs. And I think that's where we get kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. We think our partner is supposed to fulfill those needs, and they're supposed to understand us, and they're supposed to always be creating this atmosphere where we can be successful. And the thing is, we don't even do that for ourselves all the time.
Yeah, most.
So that's a heavy load to put on somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And y'all, I just want to tell you, her husband's amazing.
He's so sweet.
Her husband's like, he is. Yeah. I just actually, I didn't tell you that I was looking up the picture of you and I, that I posted in the group of us in Austin on the riverside. And I looked at his little caption, and he was writing it to you. He said, I love you and that human being. Cause he always calls me. He always says how much he loves this human being. He's amazing. He's amazing. Joe, yes. We love you. But yeah, no, I think that it's really, and I, you made a really great point. A really good point of how are we missing the mess, we're not hearing the message. We're just looking at the vehicle. The vehicle is the pizza, but the message is, I was thinking of you. I care about you. You're important. And mm-hmm. In my mind, this is what I thought would make you happy. And mm-hmm. so it's coming from that perspective. Then it's like, oh, how nice. But instead, most of us will be like, how could you do mm-hmm. that? And so of course, the other person's going to be defensive. Of course, it's mm-hmm. going to cause upheaval, and then it's going to be conflict. And then you're just like, I want to get out of this. I just don't want to have to deal with this anymore. Okay, fine. I'll just eat your pizza. Right. But then you're resentful. Then you're angry. And we talk about it all the time in the group. If you're not feeling good, you don't make good choices. And eating half the pizza is going to be not the good choice, you know? And so it's all in, I think you made a really great point of it's all in how you choose to want to think about the message and why that's happening. But also taking responsibility for your role,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Because the last time I checked, no one has ever shoved food down my throat. I don't know about you. No one has ever done it to me. And, and I don't think that many of you have had that done, you know, to you as well, or have you allowed it to. Mm-hmm. So it's important to remember that we all have to take that responsibility. So when it comes to the relationship piece of trying to lose weight and trying to make that happen, whether your spouse is on board or not, because you've been on, you know, we've talked a lot about you and Joe have done that. You've done it together. You've done it separately. Mm-hmm. And so what's a way for couples to be able to navigate that, whether they're both doing it at the same time, whether one's doing it and the other one's not, but how do you, as a couple, or as two individuals, how do you navigate that kind of thing and not have it create that conflict and that discord, the disparity in your relationship or disharmony?
Well, I would look at your expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, are you expecting to, you know, go through your cupboard and get rid of all the bad food, and then you're going to just only bring in healthy food, and you're only going to eat certain food, and you're going to follow your plan perfectly, and you're never going to have a day that's messed up. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's going to be days where you do eat off of your plan, and, you know, what do you do from that space? And then thinking that even though your partner says that they're in, again, they can still change their mind. Just like, yeah, I've been in with my husband on stuff and then not followed through on my end. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. So allowing that's going to happen, and then setting some guidelines that, you know, you can follow without question, small mm-hmm. things to start out with. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I have my water. Giant bottle of water, super important. Right. And it's got marks, so I know how far I've been drinking. Mm-hmm. I think it says 5 p.m. I think I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. But don't expect that your partner is going to follow it exactly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think having your partner as an accountability buddy is probably the worst idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really do. Because you're putting pressure on them to do something that's already hard for them, mm-hmm. right? It's hard to try to do this. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you wouldn't exist as a coach, right? Like,
right.
yeah. Right. I mean, we wouldn't coach people on this stuff if, because we all know how to lose weight. Mm-hmm. It's the doing of it, right? Mm-hmm. So we're putting this extra pressure on our partner. And then of course they don't want to let you down. And that, mm-hmm. so they're probably already, if they mess something up, they're probably already feeling some guilt over there. And all it takes is you saying, I thought you weren't going to bring home chocolate cake. And then they feel like crap,
right.
you know, that they have done that. And then they're going to eat extra and you're going to eat extra. Mm-hmm. So why put that pressure on your partner? Mm-hmm. And I understand why a lot of people want to diet together, because then it's, they're making the same meals mm-hmm. or they're eating together. And there are ways to do it that you don't have to eat the exact same things. Right. And then we also, Joe and I we've created, like, it's Thursday today and Thursday night is date night. And that's the night that we go out and we have drinks and we have food. And usually we meet up with friends. But when we go out extra, that's extra. And that's not really part of our plan. Mm-hmm. Like, and then there's nights where I'm not eating as much that day. I might've had a smoothie that morning. I might've had a snack in the afternoon and I'm not hungry. I'm not going to eat dinner. I'll send him a text. Hey, you're on your own for dinner. Mm-hmm. I'm not eating. Right. You know, like 8 o'clock at night, I get kind of snacky because I've had dinner, but you know, that way he's not coming home and wondering what's for dinner or if he should bring home dinner or if he's going to cook dinner. We don't have any questions or guesses about what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I think the most freedom we've ever created for each other is allowing that the other person gets to choose what they're going to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like maybe we decided we're going to lose weight together and do this plan, but if he's going to sit there and eat chicken wings in front of me and, you know, and I have a salad, I can't sit there and resent him for eating chicken wings. Mm-hmm. Because it's not that he's doing anything wrong. It's just that I'm over here wishing that I had chosen chicken wings because they mm-hmm. looked amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not, I don't want to put that weight on him, put that responsibility on him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it really is. It sounds like it always comes back to each one of us. Same thing as it usually is, that each one of us, we are not responsible for someone else's success or someone else's happiness, and nor is someone else responsible for ours. We have to mm-hmm. make and create our own. And the other thing I heard you say was, and you said this over, and I know that you and Joe are really good about this, is there has to be communication. Mm-hmm. you know, there has to be that communication. And I know for many of you, you know, I know that many of you will say, like, you know, well, my husband doesn't want to hear, or my partner doesn't want to hear about, like, okay, here we go again. You're doing another diet. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It does. There, and again, we always say it, their opinion of you is none of your business. Even if they want to tell you, it doesn't matter. Yeah. As long as you're okay yeah. with it.
Yep. Because yeah. the only reason their opinion of you bothers you is because you're already thinking it about yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it's like setting off alarm bells.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. It makes you uncomfortable. Almost, it makes you defensive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the, for you in with the people with, you know, the coaching that you do, what would you say is the most common conflict when it comes to, or the thing that you've heard the most when it comes to second, third marriages? What do you think is the biggest conflict that people that spouses have in second or third marriages, when it comes to just their own relationship and having that other, you know, because we talk a lot about baggage here and like leaving things in the past and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the most common thing that you see as being an issue for people in second and third marriages?
I think jealousy can be a big one. I know mm-hmm. that's been a big one for me. I've noticed that in coaching people around this, a lot of times the story that they make up about whatever action their partner is doing, and this could relate to bringing home food, is my partner doesn't care. Mm. They don't care about me. They don't care, or they don't care enough. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that. And, you know, you were saying how how sweet Joe is. And it's true. He sends people messages and he will call people and he'll, somebody's having a bad day, he'll go and meet him for coffee or meet him for a beer. And I used to get so jealous, like somehow him doing these things was taking away from his love for me and it left less for me. So that's a big thing. I think that they don't care, because if they don't care, what does that mean? Oh, right. Well, that they're pulling away, or that there's less love, there's less for me, that there's a rift, that there's a problem, that they don't love me as much as I think that they do, or they don't love me as much as I love them.
Right.
And we start to kind of, especially if they're doing something that reminds us of our previous partner, you know, you start seeing that your brain has stored that away, because our brains like to be efficient. Like, oh, hey, there's that thing again. You know, he's saying those words. He's texting somebody at 9 o'clock at night. You know, that last time that meant he had a girlfriend, you know, that, so now what does it mean? Does it mean that? So we start falling back on our default brain, and our default brain cannot be trusted.
Right.
Because of the thing, we've been storing stories away in that part of our brain since we were little kids, and not all of those stories were accurate.
Right.
And things change. So look at what you're thinking about your partner. Like, really question it. You have people journal, right? And write down their plans and do all that. Write down what you think about your partner, and like do a 5-minute brain dump on your partner. Like, what does it mean that they bring food home? What does it mean that they didn't make dinner? What does it mean that they said these words to me? Like, what do you think about that? And then do some thought work around those thoughts you're having, and see if you can practice letting some of them go, or tweaking them, making them less negative, and start looking at your partner in a different light. You know, just like looking at, if they're bringing food home, it means they're thinking of me rather than it means they're sabotaging me.
Right. Right. I'm going to ask in the group, if you have, and this is going to be honesty time for y'all. It's going to be time for, you know, for everybody to make sure that they are, that they're honest with themselves. One of the things that, if you remember last week, Holly said that one of the things that she has learned the most in working this program and being a part of the membership is about being honest with herself, about like, what is the reality of what's really happening, and honesty with, like, I have to be honest with myself. So how many of you have been upset with your partner for, you know, bringing something home, doing something like that, and you missed, like, now all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't even think about it, how nice it was. Like, how many of you have missed that piece of like, oh, they actually were showing me that they loved me, and I was angry and I was mad. So, it just drop the word mad in the comments. If you're somebody who has, you missed that, like you've been upset with your partner or a family member for giving you food or wanting you to eat something, and you've automatically taken it as, oh my gosh, they're trying to sabotage me, when in reality, you missed the fact that they actually cared about you and they were actually trying to show you love. And I think we oftentimes do this with like aunts, uncles, you know, aunts, you know, moms, you know, like, oh my gosh, I come over and they're trying to push food on me. They're a food pusher. Well, if for a moment, couldn't we think like, oh my God, they love me. Like, they love me. Yeah. They might not understand what I'm doing, but they love me and they want me to be happy. Like, that's, we always can decide how we want to see things from people. If we want to be upset, there's plenty to find. We can be upset, but there's so much love out there too, that we are missing a lot of the time.
Yeah. Our brains are wired to see the negative first and to be on the defense first. So we have to be intentional and look for what's good about this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it just makes it, I know that there are definitely, there's definitely the school of thought, like, well, then you're just like, you're living in a fantasy. And I'm, you know, and my thought is, well, what's the other option? I mean, you could live in the fantasy or you can live in misery. It's like, why do we always, and again, it's your brain always defaults to that negative side and wants to go to that negative place. And so, and again, we can go there, but it's not fun. It's not an enjoyable place to be, and it makes you miserable in the process. So what would be a piece of advice that you would give to somebody who is really, who's having more of a struggle with feeling like a victim, or feeling like their relationships or their surroundings are controlling their ability to be able to lose weight? Cause everybody's bringing something home, or my kids bring food mm-hmm. home, or this or that or the other. Like, what could they do right now to kind of like bring themselves back to like, wait a minute, pump the brakes.
Yeah. That's a great question. Yeah. I think it's time to stop focusing on the screw ups and stop focusing on when they go off their plan mm-hmm. and start finding, oh, remember that time last Tuesday when they brought home cheesecake and I decided I wasn't going to eat it and I didn't. Mm-hmm. What were you thinking in that moment? You know, what made you not eat it? Like first celebrate it, you know, make it a win mm-hmm. and make it a win. Like, yes, I am mm-hmm. awesome. I mm-hmm. didn't eat the cheese. Like really, really give yourself post some credit for it. Yeah, post in the group, mm-hmm. share it, mm-hmm. get community around it. Absolutely. And then really, really look, because we're quick at doing models on when we screw up. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, what did we, I was thinking, oh, this has been a terrible day. What about the day that you didn't eat the cheesecake? Mm-hmm. Can you then think, okay, what was I thinking that the action was not eating the cheesecake? Well, I was thinking, no, I'm committed to this diet. I can go one evening without it. Mm-hmm. It looks delicious, but I can always get a piece later when it's on my plan. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you were thinking, make note of that. Put it on a sticky note, put it on your fridge, put it on your mirror. Pay attention to the thoughts you're having that give you wins, and think of those thoughts more often and let go of beating yourself up when you don't follow it. It's like Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. You don't yell at him when he does something wrong. Mm-hmm. That does not help him learn to do something right. You give him a treat mm-hmm. and we give dogs treats. We don't give us treats.
Right.
you reward him for the good behavior. And so absolutely. That's rewarding yourself for good behavior mm-hmm. without rewarding yourself with food. You reward mm-hmm. yourself with the, what is it? The, I just lost the good hormone.
Yeah.
Dopamine. Yeah. Dopamine. That's right, I'm dopamine. Like, I know there's a fancy word. Yeah. So you want to get, cause that's what you're trying to do with the food. You're mm-hmm. trying to make yourself feel better, mm-hmm. make yourself feel better by celebrating yourself and giving yourself mm-hmm. love. Cause it's the love you're craving from your partner comes from in here. It mm-hmm. comes from inside of you. They can be across the country and you can feel love from mm-hmm. them. You can feel love from yourself. It's all in here. Mm-hmm. And the more you can create that, the better you're going to feel.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, better we feel, the better decisions we make, and the more in control we feel, and we feel like we can, there's nothing we can't do when we just went. And yeah. again, but all of that starts with our thoughts and starts with how we choose to think about things. So mm-hmm. as always, I can't even tell you, there are so many times where Sheila will get a call. Like she's at numerous times in the last few weeks, she's been getting multiple like middle of the week calls. Like we always have a standing session on Thursdays, before my podcast. And, I don't know. When did I message you? I don't know. It was like earlier this week. It was probably Sunday. Monday night or something. I was like, I got to talk to you right now. And I was like, so of course she saved me, got on the phone with me. And then, you know, we've worked some stuff out, but she has saved me so many times in a sense.
And that goes both ways. You coach me and I love it. So good.
But it's just, you know, it's really amazing to have that ability, yeah, to have somebody in your life who's able to, you know, to coach you and to be there to, you know, to listen and to provide that feedback that sometimes you, mm-hmm. you know, don't necessarily I usually will give myself a little bit of credit. I usually actually know what the answer is, but I need to hear it from Sheila. And so it's like, I kind of have the answer inside of me.
Yeah. Well, we live live in the world of coaching, right? You and I, right. So we are always around it, but most people don't realize what coaching can provide. Yeah. And it is having someone that can see our blind spots. Mm-hmm. It's like having a backseat driver that you appreciate, that you right. want to have there and pointing things right. at for you, because you're driving a tractor trailer that's taking up three lanes and you can't mm-hmm. see, your mirrors aren't big enough and you can't right. see. And so having that extra set of eyes and ears, and my lovely husband, Joe, calls it having someone outside of your storm. Mm, and they can yeah. look and see what you're dealing with inside of your storm that you don't see, because you're all caught yeah. up in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's amazing. It's more than just having a friend. Like we're good friends, but when we shift into coaching mode, mm-hmm. it's instead of me sitting here and going, "Oh, Kristen, yeah, that's so hard." It's not that. It's no. okay. Well, what about this? Okay. Well, what right. about this? And what are you mm-hmm. thinking there? And what's creating that?
Right.
And it's so,
and that's powerful. why I call her, because I know that she'll give me, because I know what I should be doing, but I'm not doing it. And so I need her to like remind me of that. And it's, and we will actually have conversations where we're like just talking as friends, and all of a sudden I'll be like, "Can I coach you on this?" And she'll be like, "Sure." And I'm like, "Okay." And then we totally switch modes, because yeah. coaching and being a friend is very different than being a coach to somebody, because mm-hmm. being, and the people in the membership know, cause I tell them this all the time, that if there's not a time that they don't get a little bit like, "Oh, I didn't like that she asked me that." If they don't get a little annoyed by me, then that means that I'm not doing my job, because my job is not yep. to be somebody's friend. My job is to present, here's what you're saying, here's what I'm seeing, and let's figure that out. Like, is that what you mean? Is that where you want to be going with this? And so it's really just kind of being that mirror that I think we all have our own answers. It's just, we sometimes need somebody else to kind of help us navigate and find the answers. They're inside of us, but we just need help
yeah.
kind of digging them out. So, yeah. So that's what we do. It's a blast. It's fun, but it definitely is. Thank you so much for coming on. I so appreciate you being here and just talking about this kind of, just because I know so much of these, the relationship piece is, you know, I hear a lot about the different, you know, like, "Oh, you know, my husband's sick. My parents are sick. I'm caring for people." There's all these outside things that are going on that people are then deflecting and saying, "Okay, well, that's the reason why I'm not focused in." And it's like, we gotta be honest with ourselves. And this is where, you know, the coach piece comes in of like, yeah, who is responsible for you is you. It's not mm-hmm. anybody else. And you're not responsible for anybody else either. And so we all have to remember. And even if the people in our lives don't get that, that's okay. That doesn't mean that we still get to step in and we get to fix everything, because they don't understand that they're responsible for themselves. No, they need to understand that they need to be responsible. But that's also because oftentimes we step in and we do it for them. And mm-hmm. so they don't have to do anything. So it's recognizing what's one person's responsibility, what's my responsibility, and then going from there. So
yeah.
I love you, friend. Thank you so much for being here. It was awesome. Thank you so much. If there are any, actually, let me pop over to the group. If anybody has any questions, if anybody has any direct questions that you want to ask Miss Sheila, she is amazing. Let's see. Oh, what do we have here? Pam, look, the idea of looking at the positives. Yeah, that is absolutely, that is one thing I think all of us forget. And we forget it, because when something doesn't go the way we planned it, all we can think about, and this is what our brain does, is it brings up all the other things that we've done poorly, and it doesn't remember anything we've ever, I mean, you would think this sometimes, like if you like don't do something right, all of a sudden every error you've ever made in your life comes back to you, and you've never done anything right. And it just, you know, it's a choice. We get to decide, we get to control our thoughts. We get to decide what thoughts work for us and what thoughts we want to keep and what thoughts we just don't want to keep. And those are ours to be able to do. Oh, Sheila, Billy loves your glasses.
Oh, thank you.
she just got those.
Yeah, they're purple on the inside. They're like my favorite.
Oh, they are. Ooh,
yeah, love them. Yeah,
they're Thanks. Very cute. They're very cute. Yes, I have definitely. I noticed that this last. Oh, I see the purple. Oh my gosh, you've never taken them off for me. I've never seen that, because yeah, I just noticed that the other day too. Yeah, That is something that I find. She is very stylish. I will say that. Very, very stylish. Yeah. React rather than respond. Yeah, absolutely. Let me see. Any other. Okay. Just want to make sure we didn't miss any questions. All right. Okay, y'all. Well, you everybody have a fabulous. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I had told you guys that there was going to be something good coming up here. Yes. Okay. So I have a couple things. One, I have put together another slew. What is a slew? It's a whole bunch of stuff, but I have put it up a slew of recipes for those people who are looking for some, you know, some healthy option recipes, just, you know, various things that are a little bit different. If you are interested, if you need some healthy recipes for May this month, you know, it's like, this is a weird, I don't know. Sheila, what's the weather like? You're wearing a sweater. Is it for you the way it is for me in
it's like 56 degrees here. Yeah, and I'm wearing a sweater. Yeah.
I think it's like 60 degrees here in California. It blows. I know many of you in Pennsylvania, they have, I think I was talking to somebody in Pennsylvania. It's like 80 degrees. What? 80 degrees in Michigan, Pennsylvania area? No. So it's craziness. I know May is a weird time because it's like, it's kind of supposed to be picnic season, but it's not. So if you are in the group and you are interested, and oh, by the way, if you're listening to this on the podcast and you're like, what is this group that she speaks of? That would be the Breakthrough Emotional Eating group on Facebook. You can look it up just by typing in Breakthrough Emotional Eating and my group will come up. I promise you that. Or you can do it the old fashioned way, www.facebook.com/groups/food-breakthrough, and come and be a member. But for anyone in the group, if you are looking for some recipes, all you need to do is put recipes in the comments and I will shoot you a fabulous, oh my gosh, I think it's like 35 recipes, breakfast, some lunch, some dinner. They look amazing. There's a poor boy sandwich that's vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a good one. And vegetarian. And I believe, no, it's not gluten-free. Sorry. I'm not going to claim that it's gluten-free. I just know that it looked really good. But so if anybody's interested in that, go ahead and just put the word recipe in the comments, and I will get that to you. Also, if you have not, because I know Sheila has signed up as well. If you have not signed up to be the first person, the first people in line, the first ones to get my new free 4-part video course on how to work the Breakthrough Method program, you want to be on that. You want to get in on that. So if you need me to send you the link to get on the free video course that's releasing on the 24th of May, that is a week and a half from now, you want to go ahead and in the comments, you want to put the word free. That's all, free. And I will send you the link and you can sign up. We have almost 210 people who are interested in doing the free video course. So if you want to get in on that, it is going to be a party. We're going to release it and then we'll be talking about it each day as it goes on. So if you have not signed up for that, you have to sign up for it ahead of time because I will be sending it out an email. So if you haven't signed up, please drop that in the comments, free. And then if you want the recipes. All right. And for those of you listening on the podcast, you really want to come into the group because we do this stuff all the time. So yeah, come join the group and you can get in on all the good deals and good things happening. Okay. All right. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you again, my friend. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Love you. And all right, everybody, we will see you all in the group. Again, remember, recipe for the recipe pack and free if you have not signed up for the free video course. All right. Okay. Ready? Take care. Bye. Do you want to lose weight but struggle to stay committed to a meal plan because you constantly feel hungry? Does food provide you comfort when you are bored, angry, lonely, or sad? If so, you are in the right place. My name is Kristen Jones, and I'm a life coach specializing in emotional eating and weight loss, and I'm also a lifelong emotional eater. I want to provide you with information, motivation, and support so you too can learn to manage your issues with food and develop a healthy relationship with yourself. Welcome to the Breakthrough Emotional Eating Podcast. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. For more information on emotional eating and losing weight, please go to www.facebook.com/groups/food breakthrough and join the Breakthrough Emotional Eating community. I hope to see you soon.